Lessons on the Church of the Living God. The Church of the Living God. Our text is coming from 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15. It says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the Church of the Living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." And then Matthew chapter number 16 and 18 says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, this morning, we want to focus on that section. The church is a called out people. The church is a called out people. If you look on your bulletin, the first scripture that we have is coming from Acts chapter number 15, verses 13 through 17. A called out people. Now, all of these scriptures that we will go over today are going to show you the importance of sanctification. The importance of sanctification. When Jesus established his church, he was establishing a group of people to be different from everyone else. Jesus was establishing a group of people to be different from everyone else. And we have to be okay with that. If we want to see the Lord's work performed in our lives, we have to be okay with being sanctified. Acts chapter number 15, verses 13 through 17 says, "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brother, hearken unto me," or listen to me. "Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." Verse number 15. "And this, and to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written," verse number 16, "After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things." And verse number 14 and verse number 17 is really where I'm going to be concentrating on of this passage here in Acts. Acts chapter number 14 says he did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. That's who the church is. The church, we are a people for the name of Jesus. In verse number 17, says that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. How do we get into the church? We started by seeking after Jesus. We started by seeking after Jesus. And when we come into the church, we learned about the name of Jesus. We learned about the name of Jesus, that his name is to be what? Called on. His name is to be called on. His name is to be called on. So it is no mystery that when you come into the church, you hear the name of Jesus a lot. You hear the name of Jesus a lot, whether it be in song or praise, whether it be in teaching or even in our prayer. Even in our prayer, we hear the name of Jesus a lot because that's who we are. We are a people that have been called out for what? For the name. For the name, all right? Let's go over. Each one of you get one of those scriptures. John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. What does that say? John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. Oh, we could start at 11, really. "He came unto his own." Right. That's right. He came unto his own. His own were the Jews. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, that's what Acts was talking about. Acts said that Simon wrote that the Gentiles, he took out of the Gentiles a people for his name. Because he came to his own, and his own did what? Received him not. And then the next verse says, but as many. That's where Acts chapter number 15 and 17 comes into play. Where he said that the residue of the men may do what? Seek the Lord. That they may seek the Lord. And the Gentiles would do what? Call on his name. He says, but as many as received him. In your seeking Jesus, in you and I seeking the Lord, we are going to learn about his name. Now, everybody's not going to follow through with that. Everybody's not going to follow through as when you come into the church and then the church teaches you about the name. Everybody's not going to follow through with that. Some people will hear that name and turn the other way, say they don't want nothing to do with the name Jesus. But then there'll be others that'll seek the Lord. They'll learn what they have been taught. What have you been taught? Anything you want out of heaven, you got to use his name. That's what the scripture says. You ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door, the way will be made open unto you. Now you learn about that in the church. You learn about your desire being manifested in what you ask for, what you seek after, and what you are persistent, what you persistently pursue. Knock. Well, in the church, you also learn that Jesus is who you need. That Jesus is God. That Jesus is not just the God of some flesh, but the God of all flesh. He does all things. He creates heaven. He creates the earth. He controls it all. And anything that you want from him, you've got to seek after him. When you come into the church and you learn this, you say, God has a name. His name is Jesus. And you are to call on the name of Jesus. In the good times, the bad times, when you're up, when you're down, when you feel wonderful, when you're feeling yucky, when you got all the things that you desire, when you're feeling like you're in need, regardless of what is going on in your life, you need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to, and as Sister Scudder explained to us during the prayer this week, you got to have an expectation. Got to have a focus. You got to say, well, you have to identify. You say, when you call on somebody, you identify what you want or who you want. So when we say we want God, when we say we need God, and we're saying, well, the question should be coming to your mind, who is God? Well, you call Jesus because you're saying Jesus is the God that I need. Jesus is the God that I want. You got to call him with everything inside of you. You just can't be haphazardly saying Jesus as though that there's no urgency there. Jesus gave us his name and he expects us to call him. But the scripture says that he took you out of the world, and brought you into his church. And he taught you about the value of his name. And he doesn't expect you just to sit there and say, I know his name. No, he wants you to call on his name. The Lord gave you a mind to come out and he gave you a voice. He gave you the activities of your limbs and he wants you to use what he gave you. The Lord want to hear from you. The Lord want to hear you say Jesus. You say, oh, I hear all y'all saying Jesus. Yes, but he want to hear you say it. He want to hear you say it because he called you out, right? He brought you out of everyone else and brought you into a place where he put his name. He brought you into this place so that you can call on him. Lord loves to hear his name. You know, you think about that. I was thinking about that in the praise service this morning when we started saying Jesus. I said, well, the Lord loves to hear his name. And you know, you gotta be excited. I'm excited to make Jesus excited. I know everybody else don't appreciate the name. But I'm excited that the Lord gave me an understanding that he gave me his name. He gave me an understanding that I need to call on his name, right? That's the truth. So when I hear someone say Jesus, I say Jesus with excitement. Why? Because I know that's what Jesus is expecting me to do. He ain't expecting me just to read about it. The Lord want me to call on his name. He want me to say his name with enthusiasm. He want me to say his name with excitement. He want me to say, if you say, well, you say, are you happy? Yes, Jesus. Say, do you need anything? Yes, Jesus. So regardless of where I am on the spectrum, whether I'm on the need side or if I'm on the I got all I need, if I'm on the happy side or if I'm on the sad side, if I got my hands out or if I'm reaching out to help somebody else, regardless of where I'm at on the spectrum, he expects me to call on his name. He expects me to say Jesus, right? That's the truth, because I'm in the church. He expects me, because I am in the church, to say Jesus. He doesn't want me to say God, God, God. Because that's what the world does. God doesn't identify who God is. But he has given me an identity. He says, you know my name, right? And in my name do the Gentiles put their trust. We put our trust in the name of Jesus. That's why when we feeling bad, people say, what's wrong with you? You keep on calling his name so much. Scripture says, I put my trust in his name. I'm expecting his name to do something for me that I can't do for myself. Obviously, if you can make yourself feel better, you would do it yourself. But you are in a position, you are in a situation where you can't help yourself. Therefore, you got to put your trust in Jesus. You got to put your trust in Jesus. And how do I let Jesus know? I'm putting my trust in him. I call on him. That's right. I call on him. In the back of my mind, I know what I need. In the back of my mind, I know what I want. But out of my mouth, I say Jesus. I say Jesus, because that is telling God I need you. All in the back of my mind, Jesus is a mind regulator. He knows all of our thoughts. Scripture says he's a discerner of thoughts. He knows everything that I'm thinking. But what he wants to hear me say is his name, right? That's right. That's right. That's all he wants me to hear. He wants me to say Jesus. Say, or he say, well, Scott, you hungry, but you say Jesus. Because that's what he wants to hear me say. He don't want to hear me say, I'm hungry. I ain't got no money. I'm in pain. No, he want to hear me say Jesus. Why? Because that means I'm putting my trust in Jesus. Putting my trust in Jesus to satisfy my hunger. Putting my trust in Jesus to soothe my pain. That's truth, to remove it, to heal it. That's right. I'm putting my trust in Jesus. That's what he expects from me when he calls me out. That's the truth. Everybody, as I said, they won't do this. Everybody, the Lord will bring them to the place. Lord will bring them to the place where you, because you say, I'm seeking the Lord. I'm seeking God. That's what you say out your mouth. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm seeking God. And he bring you into a place that identifies him. That says that the Lord is Jesus. That Jesus is God. And you need to call upon him. That's the truth. Now it's up to you to take that instruction and go on out throughout the whole earth. Lord, I want to see you go throughout this whole earth, taking what he has taught you and using it to your advantage, using it to your benefit. Lord, I want to see you on the sidewalk calling on his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Every step you take, Jesus, Jesus. He want to see you putting your key in the door, unlocking the door. Jesus, Jesus, you are my protection. All in the back of your mind, you're saying, I know dangers all around me. But he wants to hear you call his name. He wants to hear you say Jesus out of your mouth. Putting your key in the door, Jesus. Getting that car, Jesus. Driving down the street, Jesus. Child run out, Jesus. Jesus protected that child. Jesus kept that child covered up under the blood. Why? Because my car could have ran over that child. My brakes could not have worked. But I put my trust in Jesus. I don't put my trust in my brakes. I don't put my trust in my car. I put my trust in Jesus. And because I do that, I call him, right? That's what I call him. I call him on my job. When I don't think I got the strength, I call Jesus. Call Jesus because I need strength. I need him to give me more energy, more strength, right? Keep me motivated. Keep me focused. When I'm working around a bunch of other people that ain't got no focus, bunch of murmurers and complainers, I let the Lord know, Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you. You the one that gave me this job. You the one that gave me the activities of my life. You gave me the wherewithal to do my job. And I am putting my trust in you, right? As the Lord lets you see a payday, you say, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. You paid me for my work. My job didn't go out of business. My job didn't bankrupt on the day I should get paid. But they put the money in the bank. And I put my trust in you. Therefore, I'm going to give you the first fruit of all of my increase, right? That's true. You give your tithes. You say, Jesus gave me this. Jesus gave me this. You ain't doing the Lord no favor. Jesus, you did it, Lord Jesus. It is because of your grace and your mercy. He called you out to do this. He called you out to behave this way, right? So you weren't this kind of a people before. But now you are a called out people. Huh? He expects something from you. Huh? He expects something from you. He don't expect you to look like everybody else. He don't expect you to behave like everybody else. Huh? He came to them. He came to them. And they received him not. Huh? Don't you limit that on the Jews. He came to your mom and your daddy. Your sisters and your brothers. Your classmates. Your neighbors. He came to them. And they received him not. But as many as did what? You raised your hand. You said, Lord, I'll receive you. Jesus, I'm willing to be in your church. Jesus, I want to be your people. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. Huh? Don't pay attention to where you are at. You got to see what the Lord gave you the power to become. Huh? Come on, the devil wants you to stay where you at. But he don't want you to reach what the Lord gave you power to become. Although it doth not yet appear what we were, shall be. We've got this hope. We got this expectation. When Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him. Well, we're going to see him as he is, right? That's my expectation. You got to realize you're not everything you're supposed to be. I'm not everything that the Lord has designed me to be. I'm still a work in progress. Huh? And I got to stay humble before Jesus. And let him keep on working on me. Huh? How do you know? How do you let the Lord know? How do I let Jesus know that I need him to keep on working on me? I call him. I call that name Jesus. That's my identity to him. That is the way I communicate with Jesus. To let him know I still need you to work on me, Jesus. When I keep my mouth shut, that means I don't need the Lord no more. But if I need Jesus, I need to open up my mouth and call him by his name. Huh? The world don't do this. The world cusses. The world jokes. World laughs. The world slanders. Huh? World gossips. But the saints call on the name Jesus. Huh? The sanctified, we call on the name of Jesus. We get joy out of hearing the name of Jesus. I hear it and I want to say it. When I hear somebody say Jesus, I want to say it. Jesus. Huh? I don't want to be left all alone when everybody else is saying Jesus all around me. But I want to actively participate. I want to join right in with the church. The called out people. The people that the Lord gave the name to, right? That's the truth. We are the people that the Lord gave the name to. That's the truth. You weren't that kind of people before. But he made you that kind of people. Huh? Yes, he did. He made you that kind of people. Years ago, you ain't had no mind to call no Jesus. You ain't even think about no Jesus. Now the Lord opened up your understanding. One writer said he called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You ought to be glad to be in the light. You got to be so happy, Lord, I'm in the light. I got an understanding. Huh? I know how to behave myself. Huh? Isn't that what Timothy told you? That you ought to know how to behave yourself. When you come into the church, the house of the living God. This is the church. This is the Lord's house. This is the church of the living God. You need to know how to behave yourself. It's not how you look. It's not how you dress. But it's how you conduct yourself. Huh? Lord ain't looking for you to put on no show. Not when you come into his house. He wants to hear you call on his name. He wants to see you put your trust in his name, right? No matter what you're going through, Lord want to see you put your trust in his name. Lord know what's going on in your life. He knows what oppositions you are facing. He knows what challenges that are before you. But he want to see you coming around his people. He wants to see you assemble yourself together and come. Escape from the nation. Come out from among them. Huh? As we told you, escape from the nation. Come out from among them. Be separated from them, right? Huh? Somebody say, Elder Scott, you go to church like everybody else? No. My church is a little bit different. Huh? Y'all wear clothes like everybody else? No. My clothes is a little bit different. You got a Bible like everybody else? No, my Bible's a little bit different. The words on these pages are a little bit different. Huh? But they saying the same thing. Nah, they ain't saying the same thing. To them, it ain't no life. But to me, this word is life. Huh? Come on. To me, this word is life. When I read the words on this page, it sets expectation. I look forward to something. Jesus tells me something in his word, I look forward to it. I get excited when I read something that Jesus says in his word. Because I know he's going to do it. Some kind of way he is going to do it. He said, look unto me all ye and be ye saved. That means I look, when I read that, I get excited. Because that means all I got to do is be looking for Jesus. That means if I look for him, he is going to save me. One day he's just going to show up and do what saved me. But I got to be willing to do my part, right? That's true. I got to be willing to do my part. That's true. I want you to understand this, saints. You are a called out people. You ain't like everybody else. You different from everybody else. You put your trust in his name. One writer said that you might believe on the name. Huh? That's the truth. When you're down there calling on Jesus, you got to believe him. I know the devil be trying to make you think that ain't nothing going to happen. But you got to believe Jesus. You got to, even while I'm preaching this message, you got to believe Jesus. You got to know that the Lord hears you. Lord knows your heart. He knows just how bad you want to be saved. He knows just how desperate you are. He knows just how, where you reach the end of your rope and how much you really, really want to be saved. Them folk at the house of Cornelius, they really want to be saved. They really didn't want sin to have its way in them. That's why when Peter preached that message, he said, anybody believe in Jesus, they'll receive remission of sin. While Peter was preaching that word, Holy Ghost fell on them. That means the Holy Ghost is right here. You and I are in the right place to receive the Holy Ghost. It ain't like the Holy Ghost got to come from anywhere. The God we serve is omnipresent, meaning he is in every space. Jesus is in every space. Come on, do you believe that? I believe it. He is in every space. He's everywhere I need him to be at, right? Lord ain't got to come from nowhere. He's everywhere. So that's a beautiful thing to know that the Lord is right there with you. When you on your bed at home, the Lord is right there with you. He ain't got to come from nowhere. He's right there. All he wants you to do is believe in him, right? All he wants you to do is believe in him. I feel like you, mother. Or who was that? Said that on Sunday. Somebody said, if it feel like the Lord is hugging me. That let me know because the Lord is right there. He ain't got to come from nowhere. He is right there. He is omnipresent. He fills all of space, all of time, right? That's true. Them folk realized that on the day of Pentecost, they were there calling on the name of Jesus. They were there for 10 days calling on the name of Jesus. But then on that 10th day, they realized Jesus is right here. He ain't got to come from nowhere. Lord ain't got to come from nowhere. All I need Jesus to be is right here. All I got to do is put my trust in his name. All I got to do is believe his name. I got to believe his name gives me everything that I need. It satisfies all of my wants, all of my desires. His name does it all. In him, I'm complete, right? In Jesus, I'm complete. That's the truth. But I got to believe in Jesus. That's why this salvation is personal. That's why you can't let other folks' unbelief persuade you. I can't let other folks' unbelief mess me up when I believe. Huh? Something wrong with you when you let other folk unbelief mess you up when you say you believe. Huh? You say, I know Jesus is God. Why are you going to let somebody else that don't know it mess you up? Be sitting there worrying about them. I don't understand what's going on in their mind. You already know it. They are an unbeliever. Huh? And the Lord called you out from among them. Huh? That lets you know unbelievers are everywhere. Huh? Ananias and Sapphira right with the saints. Judas was right with the disciples. But they were unbelievers. Unbelievers are everywhere. But you can't let their unbelief mess you up. Shall their unbelief make the truth of Jesus none effect? Huh? God forbid. Huh? Let the Lord be true. Huh? And every man is a liar. Huh? That's truth. Every man is a liar. The Lord is truth. Huh? The Lord is truth. Do y'all believe that? I believe Jesus is truth. He's truth all by himself. He don't need my help to be true. He's truth all by himself. I just need to do what? Believe him, right? All I got to do is believe him. If he said, I just got to say amen. Huh? Somebody said, how he going to do it? I don't know. He didn't tell me how he going to do it. All he told me to do is just what? Believe him. Huh? I believe when I went down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe he washed all my sins away.
Jesus.
Somebody say, how he do it? I don't know how he did it. All I know is he said it in his word. He said, if you go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, huh? He gave us his name for the remission or for the removal of sin. I believe that name turns that water into blood. I believe that name causes that water to be an operating table. Huh? You come out going to a hospital for the operation. You need to come to the church. Huh? Let the Lord do an operation on you. A blood transfusion, right? Huh? He takes away all the contamination. Huh? All of the contamination that sin brought in me. Jesus moved it all. All because I go down in the water. In his name, right? Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, I'll remove your sin, right? Huh? He removes your sin. Circumcision, the Lord cuts sin away from you. Huh? Lord, cut that sin, that darkness, that death. He cuts it all out of you. Huh? You go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, say you were able to come up what? Walking in the newness of life. Huh? Other folk may come and tell you, I remember you used to do that. And then you can look at them and say, I thank Jesus. Oh, I put my trust in Jesus. I thank Jesus. Huh? I'm no longer who I used to be. Huh? Hallelujah. I'm no longer who I used to be. Huh? But the blood prevailed. Huh? The blood was so much more powerful. Huh? Sin thought it had to kill me, but Jesus' blood gave me life, right? Sin thought it had me. Oh, yes, it did. Sin thought it had you. Sin thought it had the best of you. Huh? Made you going around looking dead, thinking dead, acting dead. But then you come into the church. The Lord gives you his name. He tells you, come out from among them. Huh? In other words, stop being dead. Stop thinking dead. Stop looking dead. Come into life, right? He is your life, right? He is your life. Huh? You got to be glad to be over here in the life. Some folk get excited to go see a bunch of dead folk. But I get excited to be around life. Huh? Some folk break their necks to go see their family. Them folk is dead. Huh? Them folk in sin, they dead. But when somebody tell you it's time to come to church, you should be happy. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, huh? Let us go to the what? The house of the Lord. The church of the living God. The pillar and ground of the truth. Do you want truth? Yes, here, right? You got to be glad to be here, right? Huh? You got to be glad to be here. You got to be glad to be here. Some folk be so glad, say, well, I'm going out with my friends. They be so glad. And I'd be looking at him. Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Huh? Why are you seeking life amongst the dead? Them folk is dead. They made their choice, right? They made their choice. But as for me and my house, the thing that I can control, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, right? It is the Lord that brought us out. It is the Lord that brought us out of the house of Egypt. He brought us out of bondage with a mighty outstretched arm, right? He brought us out of bondage. He fed us all along the way. He kept us protected from danger seen and danger unseen all along the way. When I think about my brother, you think about all of your life, but I think about my brother. Many of you don't know his testimony, but he'll tell you. When I think about how the devil tried to cut his life off as a young man, the devil tried to take his life from those that were supposed to be protecting and loving him. But Jesus allowed that blood to do what? Cover him. It covered him. It brought him out with a mighty outstretched arm. It ain't no mistake. It ain't no mistake. Lord took care of you all along the way. And what Paul was talking about when he said, lest I preach to others and I myself be a castaway. I didn't find him. Somebody else found him walking in the wilderness and preached unto him Jesus. And they themselves are castaway. They not even here today. They not even here to celebrate Jesus with him today. But when you think about the goodness of Jesus, he has kept you. Kept you with a mind to keep right on walking. Keep right on moving forward. Keep right on doing what? Calling on his name. You got to put your trust in the Lord. Keep right on calling on his name. Believing that Jesus. Believing him. That the one that started to do a work. He started it in you. You got to let him finish it, right? He started in each and every one of us. But we got to let the Lord do what? Finish it. Lord, finish the work that you started in me. He ain't done yet. He ain't done. See, I've stopped his table long yet. He ain't done. So how you know he's going to be done? When you die. When you stop breathing. That's when the Lord says the work is finished. How do you know? Because that's what he did on the cross. When he stopped breathing, he said, it is finished, right? That let me know I got to keep on working. I got to keep on working until it's what? It's finished. That's true, Deke. Even when you ain't got the strength to climb the ladder no more. You got to tell the folk, just drag me on up there. I just got to find me a way to get on up there. Deke, you can't climb no more. But I still got to keep on working. Well, I got to finish my charge. Until Jesus is what? He's finished with me, right? Until the Lord is finished with me. I got to keep on preaching. Until the Lord is what? Finished. Whether you come or not, I still got to keep on preaching. Tell Scott, ain't nobody here. I'm going outside the door. Preach to the bird. Preach to the squirrel. Anybody that wants to be saved. I'm telling you, that's what I did before I met you. Before I met you, I was out there in the wilderness preaching. I was an electric meter reader. Lord called me, gave me a mind to preach. Was a soul in sight. But the Lord gave me a mind to preach. I walked from house to house. Preaching the gospel of Jesus. Having complete services. All by myself. Praise to Jesus. I got so glad. I would be out there reading the meters. And it'd just be a good old service. Just me and Jesus. Walking. Thinking about the goodness of Jesus. Scripture just running all around in my mind. Declare, but thus says the Lord. Didn't pay no attention to whether anybody heard me, anybody paid attention to me, because the Lord put his word in me. He put his word in me. Therefore, it wasn't nothing to me. When the Lord gave me a mind to go to Baltimore, yes, he did. He said, go on and go. Found that corner, opened up the book, and I just started preaching. Repent.
up and say, how you shall receive the gift. Huh? Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Huh? Folks, look back, honk their horns, look out the window. I still preach. They're gonna they didn't come. I ain't got nothing to do whether they come. Lord told me to preach, right? Lord said, you plant, another man will. But it's the Lord that gives the increase. Huh? That's why you don't have nothing to do with who comes through these doors. All you need to do is make sure you do your job when they get here. Huh? Preach the gospel, right? Preach the gospel. Pray that the Lord will bring the increase. Huh? I should pray that the Lord will bring the increase. Pray that that wolf don't come by and snatch the word. Huh? That's why we're praying so hard for some of them. Because I see the wolf working. Anytime you ain't got no mind to come through these doors and in his life, that means the wolf got a hold of you. He's wringing your neck. Huh? He's wringing your neck. And he's trying to take the life out of you, right?
Huh?
Wolf had your neck one day. Yes, he did. He had your neck trying to wring the life out of you. But somebody prayed for you. Huh? Somebody prayed. Prayer brought you through. Prayer caused God himself to go down to that wolf and take his staff and pry that wolf's jaws from off of your neck. Huh? Come on, saints. It was the hand of God Almighty that pried that wolf's jaw from off of your neck. It pried that wolf's jaw from off of your neck. He had you. He had you. He had you by your lifeline. But God himself pried the wolf's jaw from off of your neck. Huh? Lord said, loose him, right? Huh? Lord said, loose him. Huh? Loose him. Yeah, that's why you here. Because the Lord loosed you. Now what you gonna do? Huh? Are you gonna keep walking around in grave clothes? Are you gonna do like the Lord told Lazarus? Cut them grave clothes off of him. Huh? He's not dead. Huh? He's not dead. Huh? That's true. This is why I try to get across to my children and anybody else. Them folk that ain't got no mind to be saved, they're dead. Now, if you want to spend time with them, you want to hang with them, I'm trying to tell you, you're going to die just like they died. Huh? Come on, someone go over to Numbers, chapter number 33, and start at verse number 51. Huh? It's not on your paper, but it's the truth. It's in the book. What did I just say? Numbers, chapter number 33, starting at verse number 51. Got to let y'all get ready to go. Numbers 33, 51. What does it say there? 33 and 51. I'm speaking to you. You of the church. Uh-huh. Yes. And that's the truth. When you in the church. Church is the land of Canaan. Huh? This is our land of Canaan. Why? Because this is the church of the living God. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the house of God. And the Lord said, you need to know how to behave yourself in his house. This is our land of Canaan. Huh? How do you get here? Because the Lord brought us through Jordan. He didn't just bring us through Jordan. He brought us through a Red Sea. Huh? He didn't just bring us through a Red Sea. He brought us through the wilderness. Huh? And he brought us into the church, right? Keep going. Ain't that the truth? And them demons, them devils that try to hold you back. What did the Lord do? He drove them on out of you. Didn't the Lord take them out your life? Amen. Huh? All them dead folk. It ain't mean my soul no good. Huh? They were leeches. They were caterpillars. Huh? Huh? They were blood suckers. They were cankers. Huh? Trying to take the life out of me, right? But what did the Lord do? He moved them all out the way. He moved them all out of the way. Huh? Folks try to hang on to you. Huh? But the Lord say, no, get on out of here. Huh? Even in the church, we had some cankers in here. The Lord just moved them right on out the way. Huh? They wasn't up to no good. They weren't trying to be saved. They were troublemakers. Huh? They were troublemakers. They were hypocrites. Huh? They weren't nothing no good. They were deceitful workers. Huh? They weren't nothing no good. They weren't willing to be truthful and honest in their heart. They was up to no good. They were evil. They were backbiters. Huh? They tried to stab you in your back and then laugh at you. Huh? When you were wounded, when your feelings got hurt, they say all manner of evil things to you with no restraint. Huh? No restraint. That's how you know it was nobody but the devil attacking you. They had no restraint, no care for your well-being, no care for your feelings, right? They said whatever they wanted to say, and you just had to deal with it. Huh? But thank the Lord you knew to put your trust in the name. You said, Jesus, give me strength. Jesus, help my mind, right? Jesus, give me focus, right? Jesus, fight my battle for me. Huh? Jesus, you said, vengeance belongs to you. Fight my battle, Lord. Fight my battle for me, Lord Jesus. Huh? That's right. Why do you say that devil be having trying to make you have your head all hanging down because of what somebody said to you? Huh? Make you feeling all down because somebody don't know how to talk to you. Huh? But they are the ungodly. They are the wicked. Huh? They're doing what their daddy told them to do. He was a thief. He was a murderer from the very beginning. He desired not to abide in the truth. Huh? Therefore, his workers will do the same thing. Huh? That's why, saints, it's good for us to recognize Satan. Huh? Recognize the unbeliever. Even when he sits amongst those that believe. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I need to recognize the unbeliever. Even when they sit amongst those that believe. Even when I share my Bible with them. I got to remember, out of the corner of my eye, I'm looking at you. Huh? In the back of my mind, I'm saying, you don't believe. We're looking at the same book, and I'm excited about Jesus. And you want to question what the Lord is saying. Why? Because you don't believe. Huh? And I'm itching a little further and further away from you. Why? Because I don't want you to infect me, right? I don't want you to infect me. Huh? Huh? Yeah, they do it. They question you. They question, what in the world is he talking about? I just don't see it. Mm. Well, I thank the Lord I see it. I thank the Lord has turned the light bulbs in my mind. Huh? Well, I don't think you should be paying the tithes on everything. Well, I think you should. Because Jesus told me that I should. And leave it at that. Huh? You unbeliever, you. Huh? Huh? That's the truth. That's true. I'm trying to tell you, they're all around us. They're all around us. And if we're not careful, that spirit is set inside of you. The spirit of what? Unbelief. When the Lord said it, I'm not telling you you're not believing. Don't pay no attention to Stephen. Pay attention to what the Lord said. The Lord said this. He gave you his word for you to do what? Believe him. Huh? He is the one that brought you into the land of Canaan. I didn't bring you in here. Jesus brought you in here. He heard your cry. Huh? He heard your cry. He gave you the mind to find this place. Huh? You walked by many places to get here, but he gave you a mind to come here, right? Is that the truth? I ain't lying. That's the truth. Right in your book. He brought you into the land of what? Canaan. Keep going. And he dribed out what? What did he drive out? Yes, he did.
From before you.
Yep.
And destroyed all their pictures.
Ain't that the truth? Huh? Come on, saints. You say, well, Scotty, don't let me go through your photo album and see some old pictures of lovers. Huh? Old friends. Y'all better read Numbers. Numbers told you to get rid of that stuff. Huh? We say, oh, Scotty, it's in my sock drawer all the way in the back. Won't nobody see it? The Lord sees it. Huh? Just like the Lord told Joshua, you got an unclean thing in your camp. Huh? Achan took that thing and hid it up under his tent. But the Lord said, I see it. And as long as it's there, I'm not going to bless you. Huh? Y'all didn't even know that word pictures was right there. It says it in the book.
Number says what? He said you should destroy not some, all of their pictures. All of their statues, all of their images, meaning that jewelry, that jewelry that they gave you, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It represents sin. Yo, come on. Now I know. I'm trying to tell you, you better take it. You better get rid of it. It represents sin. It don't represent Jesus. It represent what the Lord brought you out of. Keep going a little bit further.
It says, quite pluck down all their high places.
And
ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land.
That's right.
And dwell therein.
Yep.
I have given you the land to possess.
What did the Lord give us this land to do? To possess it. Keep going.
And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance.
Yes. Saints, you know where your place is in the church? You need to know where your place is. Y'all understand that? Each one of us got a place. We got a work. We got a space in this church. Do you know your space? It was dedicated just for you. I know my place. This little space right here is just for me. Until the Lord brings somebody else and sanctify their fingers. And I'm going to know it because I'm going to hear it. I'm going to say, oh, the Lord bless you to play like that. I'm going to move right on off there. Move right off that piano and sit on the side. And pick up something else for my hands to do. But until then, this is my space. This belongs to Steve. This is my task. This is my assignment. Come on. Who gave it to you? Jesus. Jesus gave it to you, right? Shame on you. You know how to play a tambourine and don't play it. Why? Because the Lord gave you that. How dare you sit in and let the praise service go on? And you don't pick up your tool to praise him. He gave you the ability to play it. You better play it to his glory. You better play it to his glory. Why? Because when he looks from heaven, he's looking to see who you, to see what you are doing to the glory of his name, right? Last thing I want the Lord to see me doing is being an onlooker. Not actively engaged. Oh, yeah, you got to be actively engaged in praise. Remember what the writer said, that you may know how to behave. Behave. How many told your children, you don't know how to behave yourself? You pop them good. Especially when they shame you. You go in the store and they don't know how to behave themselves, you hit them. You take them by the ear or pinch them or something. You let them know you better know how to behave yourself. And they get to talking too much, you say, you keep your mouth shut. Unless somebody asks you a question. Well, I mean, they don't know how to do what? Behave. Now, if that's true with our children, what you think about Jesus? He expects you to learn how to be what? Behave yourself. Don't talk over me when I'm talking. Amen, Elder Scudder. Don't you talk over me when I'm talking. When you hear me open up your mouth, you shut yours. But Elder Scudder, what I got to say is important. Nobody has anything more important to say than Jesus. And Elder Scudder, you think you're Jesus? No, I'm not Jesus. But when the Lord give me something to say, you keep quiet. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. Lord said it. When you hear me, now we casually talking, that's something different. But when you hear me teaching and preaching, don't you talk over me. Don't you value what the Lord is saying? He's giving you word of what? Life. Something is going to be said to help you somewhere in your life. I just got to get my thought out. No, you don't. Keep it to yourself. Ask the Lord to remove that. Because if it was right, you wouldn't have it. If that thought was right, you wouldn't have it. How do you say, how do you know I wouldn't have it? Because the Lord is speaking. When the Lord is giving you his word, you should be silent. You should be silent. You should be ready to hear what Jesus had to say to you. Why? Because he's giving you word of life. You shouldn't be busy doing this and doing that. Not when the Lord is speaking. Don't be like that sister in the scripture. She was busy cooking and cleaning and everything else. And when the other one's sitting at the feet of Jesus living. And the other, she got mad. Don't you see my sister over there? She ain't even helping me. Jesus said she chose the best thing. She chose it. She chose the good part. You chose to do all this other foolish stuff. You're not going to have me in your house all the time. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
You ain't going to have Jesus talking to you all the time. You go to your job, Jesus ain't going to be talking to you there.
No.
You're going to have some devils talking to you.
Yeah.
Telling you this and telling you that. And then you're going to be saying, is there a word from the Lord somewhere? Yeah, he spoke to you, but you wasn't listening. You wasn't listening when he was speaking. Huh? You ain't heard a word he said. Because you was too busy sharing your thoughts. You like them philosophers, Plato and Socrates, sitting in the grass with all these ideas. Huh? Knowing what? Nothing. You know nothing. You know nothing. That's true. Come on. I'm sorry. Keep me a little bit more. I got to let y'all go. Come on. Y'all finish this up. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
And to the more you shall give, the more inheritance.
Uh-huh.
And to the fewer you shall give the less.
Yes, that's true.
Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falls.
Uh-huh.
According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. But if you will not...
Now this is what I want you to understand, saints. Look at verse number 55 and 56. Because this is this is warning to you.
Yes.
If you will not drive out the inhabitants. If you don't get rid of that stuff that Jesus told you to get rid of, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain, in other words, you let these folks stay in your life after the Lord told you to get rid of them. This is what Jesus is saying to you. They're going to be pricks in your eyes and thorns where? They're going to make you sick. They're going to be pricks in your eyes, thorns where? And they're going to vex you wherever you go at. Isn't that something? They web. So you say, even if you move, you moving whatever made you sick at this address is going to make you even more sick at the new address. Oh, well, Elder Scudder, you all know. I didn't say it. It's in your book. And it's all because you didn't do what? Get rid of that stuff. Verse number 56 is the doozy.
Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto
to you.
I thought to do.
Ain't that something?
Yes.
Lord got a thought for the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that thought. Lord says, I know the thoughts I think towards
that's
you.
Awesome.
Thoughts of what? So, but he knows the thoughts he thinks towards the wicked.
Yes.
He already told you the wicked make me angry every day.
Yes.
Now, do you want the Lord to do to you what he's going to do? Huh? You got to make a choice. You got to make a decision.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I don't want to spend eternity with the wicked.
Right.
Well, you got to get rid of them.
Right.
You got to stop hanging around them.
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Scott, I'm going to be by myself. Well, where is Jesus?
Right.
Jesus said, I'll never leave you.
Right.
Jesus said that. I'll never leave you. Huh? Do y'all realize that when you stop breathing, nobody's going to be there with you? You got to get that fixed in your mind. These people you call yourself walking around with on the earth, they're not going to be with you when you die. My wife ain't going to be with me when I die. If I'm going to hold her, I better hold her now. Because after I'm dead, that's it. And the same go for her. After she's dead, that's it. Won't be no kiss. You going to kiss me in the grave? No, I'm not. Because the part that I knew is gone. That's dirt. I'll get more success putting my face on the earth than I would putting it on her body. At the time that life goes out of her. Why? Because she's what? She's dirt. I didn't fall in love with the dirt. I fell in love with her. See, that's the problem. Most folk fall in love with dirt. And when dirt changes, there go their love. And that's sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
You say, well, all these celebrities, they just jump. They're trying to tell you. They never fell in love with a person.
Right.
They fall in love with what? The dirt.
Right.
And when the dirt changes, they change.
Right.
Dirt gets driven with the wind.
Yeah.
Therefore, there they go with the wind. Jumping from bed to bed. And you say, oh, they're so nasty. What are they doing? What the sinners do? Why are you living like them? Why are you idolizing them? You know everything that they do. Did you hear what such and such said?
Did you see what something went? Did you see what they had on? You're talking about them like they know you. They don't even know you exist. Say, that's had a baby. Did you see the baby? Oh, so cute, so cute. You the fool. You were the fool. You breaking your neck. Hearing what they say. Did you hear what something said? Did you see what something said? Talking whole conversation all day long talking about somebody that don't even know you. Yeah, you know everything about them. They know nothing about you. And don't care. Nothing about you. Your lights get cut off. They're not going to help you pay it. You go to the hospital. They're not coming to visit you. Huh? And those that will do this, you treat them like dirt. People that will come visit you, you treat like dirt. We got this thing backwards. We really do. We got things backwards. Family members that we don't even talk to. We love them and talk about them so happy. Then folks live right down the street from you. You see them all the time. Can't stand them. They're the ones that's going to be there to help you. Someone breaking your house. The folk that you don't see, they're not coming to help you out. One you talk about, be right at the front door. You need any help? Yeah, please, please come on in and help me. You can't even talk when you ain't in trouble. You don't want nobody to come in then. Your logic is off. Your mind is off. Your mind is off. You're not even thinking logically. Lord, have set before you those that really do what? Love and care for you. And you treat them like dirt. And then those that don't even care for you, you break your neck for them. It don't even add up. Don't even add up. They're nowhere to be found when you need them. But the ones that are right there where you treat them like dirt. I'm dying. It's my faith. Give all my business to this one. Who? I didn't even know they existed. They got a good business mind. I didn't even know they existed. And then they're going to treat all the stuff you cared about as a business transaction. Elder Scudder, talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. Going to treat it as a business transaction. You worked hard to get all of this stuff. And as a business transaction, how much money can we make from this? You know, Mama wouldn't want us to do that. But she gave me the rights. But you wasn't there with her. She gave me the rights. Don't be foolish. What they tell you, be careful about how you treat those that are right there with you. Huh? They're right there when you fall, they right there. Huh? Pick you right back up. Dust you off. Wipe you. Care for you. Huh? Come on, say this the truth. Think about these things. Think about all of these things. Don't let the enemy fool your mind with these things that really don't mean anything. Have you losing and breaking good relationships that you have for wishing and desiring for things that you really don't even possess? Huh? That's true. You really don't even have relationships with these other folks. They're really not even in your life. As I said, they don't even really know you exist. Huh? Huh? They don't even know you. They don't even know the things that you like. They don't even know the things that you're allergic to. Huh? I know them best. I'm going to get the best thing for them. You be in the hospital bed, they bringing you a shrimp. Don't even know you're allergic to shrimp. You'll die from it. Because it's the best thing. It's the most expensive thing. Hey, you bringing and say, I'm bringing Mama some sardines because I know she like that. She don't want no sardines. Sardines ain't nasty. She's too good for the sardines. Here, Mama, here goes some shrimp. Mama can't talk. And you stuffing her mouth with shrimp. And little do you know, she's allergic to it. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to think. You got to think about these things, saints. Don't kill relationships that the Lord has put in your life. Things that the Lord has put in your life, the people that do you good. That mean the best for you. Don't destroy that. I tell my children that all the time. Don't destroy the relationship you have with your mom and your daddy. We've been there for you. For any of them other folk, it was there.
We've got your best interest at heart. Don't let folk that don't know nothing about you talk bad about people that do what? Love you. Right? They be on her. What your mom say? What your dad say? I don't understand the parents. Where's your mom and your dad? Where are they at? Do they go to church? Do they pray for you? Do they fast for you?
Thank you.
Huh? My mom and dad, they don't go to no church. Wait, yours do. We know where to put our trust at. Don't mess up something good. You're where you at because somebody trusted in Jesus. When people try to cut you off, my son, when before he was born, doctors told us specifically, do not have him. He will be all kind of messed up in his mind because my wife's diabetes wasn't controlled. And we went by that man, there would be no dairy. Then the Lord let us go to a hospital we didn't think we could go to, Georgetown. Best in the city. Man looked at us, he said, oh, you're fine. Things that people couldn't do, take pictures of babies. My wife saw that child every week. I'm telling you what the Lord would do. You know how people, you go, we only get one sonogram. Tawana got a sonogram every week from her son. Isn't that something? How the Lord will work things out for you. I mean, specialists. People that specialize in being able to take it. We didn't even know they existed. Man said, oh, no, we fine. You're fine. You're going to be all right. You're going to have a healthy baby. Both of our children came out healthy. Amen. Healthy weights. Diabetics usually have big babies. Healthy weight babies. Activities of their limbs. Son. We're acting like a boy. Everybody said, give him some medicine. Give him some medicine. Give him some medicine. We cried and we prayed. Lord Jesus, calm him down. Calm him down, Jesus. All of a sudden, it was just like night. We go 1 year having all these problems. Next year, he focused. He's like, whose child is this? Dan is the best student in the school. We got a Lord. We were like, whoa. Finding out he can understand math. So these are things that people say he couldn't get. Your son don't understand math. It's like magic to him. He just pulls numbers out the sky. I'm trying to tell you what people used to tell us. But prayer, fasting. Huh? I'm trying to tell you. That's why I say don't let folk that don't know you talk people that do know you out of your life. People that prayed and fasted. For you to be where you are at. Y'all understand that? Lord bless you to be in the church. You're around people that care about you. I care about your well-being. I fast and pray for you. Any of you call and say, Elder Scott, I need you. I'm right there. You know it. I don't care what time of the day or the night. I'm right there. You know it. Now, why would you let somebody that don't care about you talk you out of a place where somebody does care about you? I've seen the enemy do that. Try to whisper in your mind. Steve, no, Elder Scudder, they ain't the way they used to be. What you mean how they used to be? I have not changed. I'm the same way I was the day you met me. Only thing different is I got more gray on my face. That's the only thing different about me. You go back and listen to a message from 1998 on a cassette tape, you hear the exact same thing. So keep that before yourself. Don't let folk talk you out of what you got. Lord has blessed you to be in the truth. Stay in it. Amen. Be happy where you are. Be glad about that the Lord blessed you to be around the people that care about you. And I'm not talking about just your physical well-being, but your soul. They care about your soul. Thinking about these young folk and things of that nature, family and all that other kind of stuff that goes on.